Good morning, Renewal. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 25 to 31. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings like eagles. They shall not run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hey, good morning. My name is Hans Soo-jin. I'm one of the pastors here at Renewal. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Eunice. Thanks to the praise team for leading us in worship up to this point. It's my privilege to be here this morning to share a little bit more about this word that Jason just read for us. But before we do that, is it okay if I pray for us? Just ask God to help us to read his word well? All right, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, God, that your word is the source of life for us. God, we thank you, Lord, for that because I think some of us here, myself included, are hungry. We're hungry because, life is a lot. And we feel the need, Lord, for your presence with us, to fill us and to help us, Lord, to persevere and to be your people. And so we pray, oh God, that you would do what you promised, Lord, to do with your word, that you would fill us, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us so that we could be your people in the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in late June of this year, my family and I are going to spend a week or so, camping in Acadia National Park in Maine. Now, I am personally looking forward to this trip because I have like a ton of personal, fond memories of Maine and especially Acadia. You see, my oldest aunt and her family, including her two daughters, my cousins, who were the same age as myself and my sister, they are from Maine, right? Central Coast in Maine, a little town called Belfast, Maine. And so my family would go up there, my sister, my parents, we would go up there like almost, not every summer, but a lot of summers growing up. And so, you know, just have lots of fond memories of being in Maine, being in Acadia, just, you know, all that stuff. And if you've never been to Maine, in many ways, like Maine is like a slice of heaven on earth. Maine is very coastal, right? And so you have like the cold North Atlantic ocean water. You have the fresh, like clean, like ocean air. There are these like majestic, right, mountain views, right? Especially in Acadia, right? If you go to the very south of Acadia at sunrise and you see the sun rising, because of the altitude and because of like the way Maine is shaped, right? If you see the sunrise in Acadia, then you are the very first person or first people in America, right, seeing the sunrise, right? It's amazing. There are these like little country lakes and ponds everywhere with these like undisturbed glass-like surface, right? And the food, right? If you like seafood, right? Lobsters or lobster, right? The best oysters, but not just even seafood. There's just like, you know, farm fresh eggs, which is maybe the most luxurious item we can think about right now because of the prices. But the meats and all these, you know, the food is amazing, right? picking wild blueberries off of a trail, random trail as you walk through the woods, right? Or the sweetest, most succulent strawberries you've ever tasted in your life, right? I was not paid by the state of Maine to give this thing, but I think, again, Maine is amazing. But for me, this trip is more than just, you know, reliving some fond childhood memories, right? Or, you know, reminiscing about, you know, all of these experiences I've had in Maine. But instead, I am looking forward to this trip because I am tired. It's only been about a year and a half since my family moved to Philadelphia, but it has felt like much longer than that. You know, since moving to Philly, you know, I and the world have experienced a roller coaster of emotions over things like, you know, the proposed NBA arena in Chinatown that was maybe gonna happen, then not gonna happen. It's like, what? The war in Gaza? Another divisive presidential election where the country is like so deeply divided. And I can go on and on, right? You all are aware of the news cycle and what's been going on in the world, right? There's just been a lot of this past year and a half. And even here at Renewal, at our own church, right? Our last senior pastor, right, resigned sooner than expected. There have been lots of like really heavy and important conversations within the leadership over like a lot of different topics and situations that are equally, you know, weighty. And like buying an old Philly row house, it feels like I am regularly discovering surprising things hidden under layers and layers of old linoleum. I'm tired. But I don't think that my experience is unique. Right, multiple research studies and surveys seem to indicate that people globally are experiencing greater levels of fatigue and stress and burnout, right? Especially since the COVID pandemic. And I'm sure that's also true of many of us sitting here. Right? How full are your plates? Or how many plates are you trying to keep spinning in the air and unable to do so? How much stress are you under? What questions do you have that never seem to get answered? What vacation are you looking forward to? Now, this past Wednesday marked the beginning of the season of Lent. And Lent has historically been a season on the Christian calendar when Christians have been reminded of their ashiness. And I'm not talking about dry elbows. I'm talking about dry souls, empty cups, towels that you have are ready to throw in, the ends of our ropes. Historically, on Ash Wednesday, Christians would receive an ashen cross on their foreheads, and they would also receive a spoken blessing of, "Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And this sets the pace for the rest of the season of Lent as a season, not of joy, but a season of lament. All the things in our lives that are not as they should be. Everything that makes us tired, that makes us weary, and that makes us discouraged. Now, the ancient Israelites knew well what this was like. They had many experiences of life as it should not be. And when you read the Old Testament, you can't ignore these stories. Stories of hard and challenging things. Right, from paradise lost in Genesis 3 to the flooding of the entire known world in Genesis 7 to the abuse and murder committed by David and the subsequent legacy of bloodshed and evil perpetuated by his descendants that sat on his throne to the exile out of the land of promise
and to the never-ending line of foreign nations and kings who ruled over Israel. Israel surely remembered that they were dust, and to dust they should return. And it was in one of these seasons of lament that the prophet Isaiah was sent to Israel. Isaiah began his ministry while Israel's northern kingdom was on the brink of collapse under the steady influence and power of the Assyrian Empire. And why did that happen? Well, after years and years of Israel's covenant breaking, God had had enough. And he was about to evict Israel out of the land of promise and bring judgment upon them. And he was using Israel, or Assyria, as his instrument of judgment upon Israel. But as dire as that situation seemed, hope was not lost. You see, in the midst of their judgments and of their sadness, of their discomfort, of their weariness, God remained faithful. God would not forget Israel, nor would he forget the promises that he made to Israel to be their God, who would move heaven and earth to make Israel his people. And so instead, rather than forget Israel, he would redeem and rescue Israel. And the same is true for us today. See, no matter what our circumstances, no matter how great our doubts, no matter how weak our faith, no matter how tired and weary and beaten down we feel today, God can and will rescue and redeem us. And so our hope is in him. And so we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning meditating on this by answering two questions. Why and how? Right? Why is our hope in God? And how can we experience hope in God? And so first, why is our hope in God? Now, a few years ago, we had to get some work done in our house. And so, I had to search around for a contractor for this work. And searching for a contractor is not a fun process, right? Because as we learned the hard way, a good contractor is worth every penny that they charge. And so when you need a good contractor, you need to find a good one. Don't just go with the cheapest person, who gives you the cheapest quote. In fact, you should probably go for the person who gives the greatest quote. Because again, they are worth every single penny that they charge. Right? And so you got to check reviews on Google or whatever, review sites there are. You need to make sure that the contractor is bonded and licensed in the state in which they operate. You need to ask about them on your social media neighbors' pages, right? Ask people about their experiences with this person. You need to ultimately, after you get all this information, you have to pick a contractor that is good, that has the right credentials to demonstrate that they are good. And so what are God's credentials that we should place our hope in him? Well, verse 25 in our passage says, "To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One." Now this verse basically just reminding us that God is one of one. Right? Nothing, no one can compare with him. There is this theological doctrine known as God's aseity. And that basically refers to God's independent self-existence. Right? Think about like a flashlight. Right? Now, a flashlight creates light in darkness, right? But a flashlight cannot operate on its own, right? Instead, it needs a power source. It needs batteries, or it needs like this a solar charge or whatever. It needs an external source to allow the flashlight to create light. But compare that with the sun, right? The sun provides light, like a flashlight, but it does not need an external power source to help it provide light. Instead, the sun produces light because it's the sun. You see, the ancient Israelites had many different potential sources of hope, right? Things like crops, kings, or armies. But the hope that any of those things provided were always dependent upon something else, right? Take, for example, crops, right, or harvests. The crops could provide hope, Right? They could provide nourishment, food. They could provide stability. Right? They could provide riches and wealth so they can trade with other nations. Right? They could give all these things. Right? But only if the weather conditions were favorable. Right? You needed enough rain, right, to give water, but not too much rain that produces flood. You needed enough sunlight, not enough wind, right? You need all these like good weather conditions. You needed to be protected from things like insects, like locusts that could ravage the crops, or a disease that if it gets into the crops, it could devastate the crops, right? Or think about kings, right? Kings, again, could also provide hope, right? They could provide leadership, right? Vision, a plan forward. They could provide stability, right? And how they led, but only if they were good, only if they were fair, right? And only, right, even the kings that were good, that were fair, that provided a lot of good hope for their people, they all eventually died, right? A good and fair king is worthless if they're not living to lead their nations, right? And so this is not the case, however, with God, right? The hope that God provides, that God can provide, is not hit or miss because God is not dependent on anything. God is the sure hope, the sure source of hope because he is God. And I'm gonna point out three specific characteristics about God that give us hope. First, God is all-powerful. Right, verse 26 says that God created each and every star that is in the night sky. Now, if you live here in the city and you go outside at night and you look up at the night sky, you might see like 5 stars, right? And then one starts blinking and you realize, oh, that's an airplane. But there's only 4 stars, right, in the night sky. Nevertheless, right, even though there's only 4 stars, right, in the sky, each one of those stars is this massive, right, incredibly bright and hot, burning gas ball, right? In each of these things is something that God created. Now, but if you were in Acadia, right, or somewhere else very remote, like in the burbs somewhere, and you look at the night sky, you would see a sky full of stars, right? Not just 4 or 5, but too many to even count, right? And again, each of those stars, right, is this massive, right, a ball of burning gas, all created by God. Now, one of my favorite fictional characters is Jack Reacher. And if you're not familiar with Jack Reacher, he is the main character in a book series written by Lee Child. And it's also actually now a show on Amazon Prime. I love Jack Reacher because the main premise of his stories, right? They're a little different in terms of plot points and storylines and everything, but every one of the stories is in some ways predictable. You know how it's going to end before you even read the book. Why? Because Jack Reacher is massive. He's like 6'6", like 350 pounds of like pure muscle. He's also like intellectually like super smart. And so basically every book is the same. Jack Reacher enters a problem with the bad guys, doing all these bad things. Jack Reacher beats up those bad guys, and happy ending. Every single book is the same, right? And I love this like lack of predictability because, again, Jack Reacher always wins, right? He never loses because he's just so massive and powerful. And in a sense, that's what God is like in his power. Sometimes we just need a good old-fashioned predictable story where the good guys always win. And God is the most powerful good guy in the entire universe. He is more powerful than anything in this world, including the sad things and the hard things in our lives. Right? The things that weigh us down, that we don't see any way that we can alleviate, that we feel like crushed by, that we feel oppressed by. Even these things are nothing to God. God is all powerful. And one of the most obvious ways that God demonstrates his all-powerfulness is in his authority. And so the second characteristic of God that gives us hope is God's perfect authority. Look again at verse 26, which says that God brings out the stars, how? By calling them by name. Now, the act of naming in the Old Testament was a way of exercising power and authority and dominion. Right? Think back to, you know, when God created Adam, and Adam named every other creature that God created. Right? Because why? Because God gave Adam dominion over creation. Right? But who named Adam? Who named Adam? Adam didn't name himself. God named Adam. And so whatever dominion and authority that God, that Adam had, it was derivative, right? It was under, right, the dominion and authority that ultimately God has over all creation, right? God has ultimate authority over everything, right? Nothing happens in this world without God first knowing, but also God ordaining it to happen. Even nature listens to God's voice, right? Again, how did God create all things in the very beginning? We're told that he simply spoke, and it was. You know, we have an Alexa at home, and I swear that thing has its mind of its own, because I'll say the clearest command, like, Alexa, turn the light on, and it'll play like a Britney Spears song. Like, I don't, even the Alexa won't listen to me, but creation listened to God's voice. When God said, let there be light, there was light. When God said, let the earth and the waters be, there was land and there was water. Now, when we have an issue at a restaurant, right, we want to know who's in charge. Right? Let me speak to your manager. Let me speak to whoever's in charge so that we can take up our complaint to that person. But even then, that person who is in charge of that situation can't always make things better. Right? Because they have limits to their authority. And not so with God. See, God has perfect authority over all things in creation. He is in charge of all things. And so he has the actual power and authority to change things in our world, to change things in our lives. But all the power and authority in the world isn't really helpful for us unless we have access to it. And so the third characteristic of God that gives us hope is that God is fully present. Right, verse 27 says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. See, here Isaiah was basically rebuking the Israelites because when the Israelites experienced hard things, right, when they experienced sad things, things that made them tired, they would often accuse God of not seeing them or not being aware of their situation because maybe he was asleep somewhere taking a nap, or maybe he was too busy in some other corner of the universe taking care of whatever he's doing. Does this sound familiar to any of you? Because this is what I do all the time when things don't go my way. I accuse God of being unaware or ignorant or not too busy, right, for me. But of course, we know that none of these things are true. Right? God is always fully aware of everything going on in the world, and especially with his people. Right? God is like a parent who is fully engaged and fully present with their child and not on their phone checking their stock prices, or who's not distracted by thoughts of that work conversation, or is not thinking about what to make for dinner. And so that when something happens to us, right, when we experience hard things, when we don't need to somehow like, get God, do you see us? God, Where are you? We don't need to throw up a bat signal or, you know, send out an SOS text to make sure God knows what is going on with us. But instead, he knows exactly what is going on in our lives at all times. He knows the hard things. He knows our stressors, and he knows our pain. But God doesn't just know about our difficulty because he's all-knowing. And he somehow just knows everything, right? That isn't the extent of how he knows our difficulty. Instead, he knows our difficulty because he himself has experienced it. Our sermon series during Lent is called The Servant Songs of Isaiah, because these passages in Isaiah point us to how God came to this world, how he came near to us to be fully present with us through Jesus, and through Jesus to serve us in our need. Right, during his earthly ministry, Jesus demonstrated all the characteristics of God that give us hope. He demonstrated his power by redeeming creation, by undoing the effects of sin on creation, right? By healing the sick, by feeding the hungry, right? Miraculously, and by raising the dead. Right? He demonstrated his perfect authority by commanding even the demons, right, to come out of people, and by calming the storm with a simple command. He demonstrated his full presence by seeing the marginalized, by acknowledging the ignored, by identifying with the poor and weak, and by experiencing all the sad things that we experience. Loneliness, disappointment, hunger, sadness. And ultimately, by bearing our sins and the consequences of our sins upon his body while he hung upon the cross. You see, Jesus experienced all these things that we experience, and then he gives us hope, ultimately, in his resurrection, so that all who belong to him can not only see someone who they can relate with them, but instead who can see eventually the hope that they have on the other side of these things that we struggle with. The perfect rest and the perfect comfort from everything in our lives that make us tired. And so how do we experience this hope? Well, verse 29 says that he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Right? And I don't know if you heard it there, but who does God give power to? Whose strength does God increase? Right? It does not say that God gives power to those who are fresh, or to those who are have everything together in their lives, or to everyone who is powerful or mighty. Instead, it says that God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. And so if we want to experience the true hope that God offers to us through Jesus, we need to first acknowledge our weaknesses. Because it's only in acknowledging our weaknesses that we can seek hope from outside of ourselves. Soong-chan Raz, a professor at Fuller Seminary, once said that lament challenges the church to acknowledge real suffering and plead with God for his intervention. And so this is why we as a church have a confession of sin every Sunday. Right? This is why we as a historic church have observed the season of Lent, right, every year. And so my encouragement to us is this. Practice acknowledging your weakness. Not just once a week on Sundays, not just once a year during Lent, but practice this on a daily basis. Right? Confess your sins to God daily. Talk to your friends, right, about your struggles. Be real with how much doubt we have, how much we struggle to even trust the simplest promises that God makes to us. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, boast in our weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Now, in addition to acknowledging the weaknesses, we also need to wait on Jesus. And verse 30 says that even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, at the end of this month, I will turn 43 years old. Was that right? Is it 44? Where's my wife? 44, gosh. I'm turning 44 years old, and with many things, memory loss is a part of getting old. Now, the older I get, the more impactful these very well-known verses become to me. Because I can remember when I was young, when I was a youth, when I had the energy to play basketball or volleyball for like 8 straight hours, or to drive through the night, right, to get to like a White Castle, which I did, you know, when I was living in Maryland, it's like 4 hours to White Castle, or driving all night to get to New York or something, or to the beach, or the ability to go to Taco Bell at 3 in the morning and get one of each menu item on the daily and not gain a single pound, right? But now as my ability to do those things is growing less and less, I'm growing in my understanding of what it means to wait. I'm understanding my limitations, even my ability to remember my age. I need others to remind me, to help me. And I'm learning to wait on them. And so what this means for us is that we need to wait on Jesus. We need to trust, not in ourselves, in our abilities, but we need to trust that Jesus is our only hope. This means that we need to pray to him whenever we're sad. This means that we need to prioritize his word when we need comfort. This means that we need to follow him when we feel lost. This means that we need to remember that ultimately he is faithful, that he is good, even when we are not. In the Fellowship of the Ring, the first book of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Frodo and the other members of the Fellowship come to the stream of Nimrodil. And you know, by this point in their journey, the Fellowship has gone through a lot, right? They've traveled for many, many days and nights through a foreign land. They've been away from their homes and their beds for many nights. They have fought and sometimes hid from their enemies. They've had several near-death experiences. And they've even witnessed the death of their dear friend, Gandalf. Right? They were tired. They were weary. Especially little Frodo, right? That kind, gentle, innocent little hobbit that was carrying around his neck the unbearable weight of the Ring of Power. But when the Fellowship, and especially when Frodo stepped into the river, something happened. Right, as the gentle stream flowed around his tired feet, he felt an unexpected relief, his weariness lifting, his spirit refreshed. The burdens of the journey, right, did not disappear, right? They were only maybe like a quarter of the way there to their journey, right? They knew there was a lot of more hard things to come. But for a moment, he was given rest. He was given a foretaste of something deeper and more truer than all the hard things going on in his life. Church, the world exhausts us with its demands, with its sorrows, with its struggles. But Christ offers us rest that can restore our weary souls. His presence is like living water, reviving the weary traveler and reminding us that though our journey continues, though there are deadlines to meet, though there are suffering still to come, that we are not left to bear this weight alone. Instead, he is with us to renew our strength, to give us wings like eagles, so we can run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. So let's pray. Church, I want to ask you, as we bow our heads, just to first just acknowledge the many ways in which we are weak, where we are sad, where we are tired. And as we acknowledge those things, may our eyes turn to the hope that God offers to us through Jesus. And may we ask God to help us to wait on that hope, to trust in Jesus, to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life that is giving us the power and the strength in our weaknesses to persevere. So let's pray. Lord, in our lack, in our want, in our longing, in our sadness, in our tears, in our weariness, may you refresh us. May you encourage us, and may you fill us, so that as we look ahead to the rest of our journeys and all the future challenges and difficulties that will compound upon the current ones we face today, that we would have the courage, that we would have the strength, and that we would have the faith to persevere and be your people. We pray this in Jesus' name.